family. And so this got me thinking about how's the Navigator family? And that's not necessarily an easy question to answer. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, what do we say that our values are as a family, as a Navigator family? And I realized that what I'm saying to you this morning, it is simply my own view. And I don't have a better view or more of an overview than anyone else. And what you say, what you hear me say, you may not agree with it or it might not be true in your situation, and that's fine. But in this, I hoped that we might be able to, in a sense, say, you know, what is the Spirit saying to us as navigators? And that perhaps, however different we might view things, that we nevertheless come up with some, you know, feeling together about this. And as I reflected on that, I went down the list of the Navigator values, which of course I do every morning, and I realized that, you know, sort of what's on this list, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a value. And the fact that something isn't on this list, it may be a deeply held value with us. And I thought, yeah, because true values in our life do not come, you know, from lists on pieces of paper. True value, we gain the Word of God on life. We gain the Holy Spirit on our life. We gain life on life. And I think that these values do express something that you might say has been passed on from generation to generation that we hope are our values. And I thought also it might be true that some of these values aren't personally strong for you. And maybe others think so as well and wish that it was. I'm sure that that comes up sometimes. But anyway, we want to look at these values. And then, of course, the other thing that is that you have all had an oracle that is the actual true international values. And so when I was reflecting on that, I thought, well, what about the core values? And so I've sort of kind of tried to bring them in together as well and see how they compare and contrast. So the first value is God's glory is the supreme value. We want all we are and do to reflect this. Now the word glory has to be said is a word with a wide range of meanings, a kaleidoscope of reasons. But one of the actual Greek word, I understand, has the meaning that of the way I've paraphrased it, exalted position due to a high opinion. And so another way to phrase it is that Jesus is seen and thought better of. So you could say, what would we desire for our work is that Jesus is more seen and he's thought the better of. And I thought, yeah, is this the value that really drives us and keeps us going? It says this is the supreme value. And as I was reflecting on it, I thought, well, what in my sort of view really drives us? Or maybe the other way to look at it is that what matters? And I thought the thing that really matters, I would say, is grace and mercy. I have to be honest, I suppose people say to me as a leader in the Navigators, you know, how are things with the Navigators? And I've said many, many times, there's two things that I think I would say about the Navigators, grace and mercy. In other words, that God has given us what we don't deserve. Grace is unmerited favor. And God has given the Navigators unmerited favor. And the other thing that he's given the Navigators is mercy. In other words, he's not given us what we do deserve. And I think that these values also drive our work. And so we have a lot to be thankful for. I think when probably we think of this value, when we think of the glory of God, it says, for example, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I think that that is true to a certain extent, that people can look into the Navigators and see the good works and bring glory to the Father in heaven. But there's another way that they might see the glory of God as well. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. And he said, for this reason I received mercy, that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience. And I thought, aha, maybe that rather than, well, maybe a bit of both, isn't it? Rather than giving God, or all, as well as giving God the glory through good works, maybe we show to others how patient God is, and that we are still around after all these years, and we are still growing after all these years, and we owe everything to the glory, to the mercy, to the grace of God. And I'm sorry, some of you know that I've got a bit of a cold, and it's affecting my head. So I might need to have an occasional break. I might need to blow my nose from time to time. Excuse me. So the second value, we value the fact that God Almighty, creator and sustainer of all that is, has revealed himself in the incarnation of Christ and his work on the cross, through which we come to experiential knowledge of God. And I thought, which theologian wrote that? I like the core values better. The passion to know, love, and become like Christ. And I trust that that is a value. Sometimes I'm glad to see that this motto of the Navigators, to know Christ and to make him known, still kind of seems to resonate with us. That's what we want. I suppose some of you are familiar with how the Amplified Translation translates Philippians 3. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, and that I may so share his suffering as to be continually transformed into his likeness. And so this is a passion with us, isn't it? Getting to know Christ. And I hope and trust that it was a driving passion. It is a driving passion. I would say from my own personal experience, this is what drew me to the Navigators. These were people who desired to know Christ. But as I reflected, I realized in my own life, actually knowing Christ meant actually knowing about Christ. And you know the Greek word know, not the Greek word, the Hebrew word know, has to do with intimate relationships. It's the use for the sexual relationship between Adam and Eve. And I think as time has gone by, and I think this is true probably for many of us, the knowing has moved perhaps from a cerebral knowledge to a more personal, a more intimate, a more relational knowledge. It is all about relationship, but sometimes it's the way that we interpret words. I had a very sort of milestone kind of experience not that long ago, actually. I was in Germany, and I was asked to speak in the Anglican church there. And in preparing, I was sitting in the curate's library come office, and I was looking around at the books, and it was sort of Banner of Truth here, Packer there, endless commentaries. And the longer I sat in that room, the more nervous I got, because I was going to speak on Isaiah, and I was starting to think, is that theologically correct? Have I crossed that theological T right and dotted that I? And it really put me off. And then it was as if God revealed to me, I thought to myself, you're not there anymore. You're not there in that God is known only through your mind. It's far deeper than that. Yes, of course I want to know about him, but more to the point, I want to love him. I want to relate to him. I want to be his. I want to worship him. I want to connect with him in my soul. And so you see, it was going deeper. I think one of the nicest things that anyone has ever said to the Navigators is what Liz McGregor said a few years ago. She said it at the reps conference, at the staff conference. She said, I can see that you're a worshiping people. Well, that was the nicest thing anyone could say. And I'll tell you this, they wouldn't have said that 20 years ago. Because I don't think we were a worshiping people in that kind of way. And I think God has had to do a work in our lives. And of course, this, for those of you that are newer to the Navigators, you don't, may not know what I'm talking about, because in a sense, you have taught us this. But this more intimate, more personal relationship with Christ. And on the subject of being taught by others, we go to value three. We value the person and works of the Holy Spirit and acknowledge our continuing dependence on Him in enabling us to have a relationship with God and revealing the person of Christ. We are transformed from inside out. Again, I like the core values expressed better, which says the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I've been quite struck recently. Over the Christmas period, I was meditating on the Christmas story, as we do, and I was particularly struck by Simeon. And it said of Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It says of him, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw Jesus. And it said the Holy Spirit moved him to go to the temple at the time when Jesus was there. And of course, he also spoke by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, Simeon is a man who's a friend of God to whom God revealed his secrets. And I thought, but we're all in this situation, really. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit things which we have no other way of knowing. How else but by the Holy Spirit could Simeon have known that he was not going to die before Jesus came? How else but by the Holy Spirit could he have known that now was the time to go to the temple? And it was a great help to me because I thought, I'm entering into situations that I have no way of knowing what to do. And I can only rely on the Holy Spirit to make things known to me and to guide my path, because there is no other way. But of course, this is about a friendship. This is about a relationship. This is about what Jesus said. You know, I'm your friend. And this friend who tells us about himself. And again, when I'm thinking about the Navigators, there has been a considerable change over the years, I think, in our attitude to the Holy Spirit. People used to say of our sort that, you know, they had a trinity of Father, Son, and Bible. And I remember when I first heard that intimated, I was very offended that anyone would sort of think or say that. But began to realize as time went by that there was a lot to learn. And I think for me, what, even though theologically I would say I'm not charismatic, but I have found sometimes that people who are of the charismatic persuasion, what draws me to them is a heart for God, a soul experience with Jesus Christ. But you see, we've learned from people like that, and I've learned from people like that, and that the recognition of the Holy Spirit and His ministry. The fourth value, we value the Bible as God's Word, authoritative and dynamic. His promises can become personal to us and enable us to live relevantly. The core values express that the truth and sufficiency of the Scriptures for the whole of life, and probably touching on it as well, the transforming power of the Gospel. One of my favorite verses about the Bible is Amos 3, verse 11, where it says, God who reveals His thoughts to people. And that to me is what the Scriptures is, that God expresses His heart, He expresses His thinking, and we get to know one another and we understand what it's about. And I thought, I don't know if you'll disagree with this, but I feel, for example, that my generation and the Navigators was much more knowledgeable about the Scriptures, and we learned a lot more verses than the younger generation do. And I mean, I thought, did we have a greater love for the Scriptures? Were we paying more attention to what God said? Some of the early Bible study groups were horrendous. Where people would have these massive discussions about what the eminent truth is. One would, and you would sort of have these debates, and one answer was the right answer. And it was, especially in the men's group, it was terrible. But what the women did, they sort of got together with the Bible and said, what did it say to their life? And this was novel. The men kind of hadn't quite got their minds around that yet. And if a woman joined a men's group, she was completely at loss because just couldn't work out what was going on around here. But thankfully, I think that, you know, we have learned better ways. And so that we're thinking much more in terms. I think the value of the scriptures is something that I think I still see. It's just more a sense of taking it to our lives. And when I was in some of my preparation, I've been reading Revelation, and I was noticing this phrase that Jesus said, I will not impose any other burden on you, only hold on to what you have. You know, because it's a bit, I think the scriptures can be a bit like, you know, the current will just take you downstream and you won't, it's an effort to get into the Bible. You need to set aside time to be involved with God in the scriptures. So we need to be careful that we hang on to this. I was talking with Bernard and he was saying some people don't think this is a great strength of the navigators anymore anyway. But I personally think it is. We value people because they are the high point of God's creation, are the object of God's love, and have potential of eternal significance. Again, the core values express this, the dignity and value of every person. And in my personal opinion, this is one of our greatest strengths. I think that we really value people. I think it's even something that's perhaps has got better. Because I think in my time, we valued people, especially their potential. So like we don't think much of you the way you are, but you've got a lot of potential. And we used to have this saying, survivors good make good men. So if you can cope with the help that I give you, you're going to turn out pretty good. But I think it's moved in the sense that we have seen more that each person carries the image of God and that each person has its inherent value, even if they don't, quote unquote, produce or do anything. They are valuable in God's sight. And it was a little bit, you know, all men are equal, but some men are more equal than others. Well, I think that was a little bit kind of our view of people, that some were just a little bit more important and better than others. And to be fair, sometimes there had to be choices made about, you know, in discipling and selecting, it's a biblical thing. But I think sometimes the way we went about it wasn't very good. But I think the truth that it says in Isaiah, because you are precious and honored, and I love you. And I think there's been a greater recognition of the how valued and honored. And I think to me, one of the greatest strengths that stayed is the value of people and the dignity and their value, but also the attention given to an individual. I think this is probably true of you as it is of true of me. I spend more time with people one-to-one than I do in meetings, groups, or speaking. So if you put meeting, groups, and speaking over here, one-to-one over here, one-to-one has more. I spend more time on that. Because there is a sense of ingrained value that if we value the person, we will give them time, we will give them attention, we will give them personal attention. And then, number six, we value the privilege of co-laboring with God to fulfill His purposes, not because of our merits, but to the praise of His glory. I struggled a little bit to know what the heart of this was. I thought it had to do with co-laboring with God. The core value internationally is expectant faith and persevering prayer rooted in God's promises. And I think what both of these kind of speak to is this recognition that God must do the work. And of course, this is beautifully expressed when he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. This had to me to do with, are we a praying people? Are we a people who devote ourselves to prayer? That the leaders in the New Testament church said they devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And are we people who devote ourselves to prayer? I think we're sort of greatly indebted to Tom for helping sort of bring more focus to this. And I thought I didn't have a chance to sort of prepare, but I'd be interested to know what Tom thinks, whether he thinks we are growing in prayer, growing in our sense of that we are a praying people. I think the other side of it is perhaps this idea, do we expect great things from God? And I'm quite well known for my negative thinking, and I would rather be known for expecting great things from God. And I, to be honest, this was the value that I'm just not so sure about whether we're really a praying people, we're really a people of faith. And so, figure it out for yourself. I don't know. Look at yourself. I needed to look at myself in each of these values. Number 7, we value all Christians because together with them we are part of one body. And this idea was like, you know, we're ships in a convoy, we're members of the body, we need each other in terms of the wider body of Christ. Interestingly, the core value internationally came out as love and grace expressed among us in community. And so that's interesting. The UK Navigators valued the church, but didn't express a value about our community. And internationally, they valued the community internally, but did not express that in terms of the wider body of Christ. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. I don't know exactly what it says. I found it very interesting that we ourselves, as UK Navigators, didn't feel the need to express our own relationships. Was that an oversight? Or did we just express what was true? I don't know. As I reflected on it, I thought our relationship with local churches and with like student groups and that kind of thing, I think is rather good. I mean, the thing that I hear when I get around the student ministries is people are relating to their colleagues. I know many people speak of what they do in their own churches. I know that the church stream expresses the service that to the church. You know, we're so delighted with Matthew, you know, that he's come on board with us to serve this as well. And I think, yeah, this is probably a good sense about this. I know for myself that this again, I don't know if this is for public consumption or not, but I find greater affirmation from my church than I do from the Navigators. So I don't know what that says about our relationship, but in terms of what they express to me, I feel more affirmed by the church than I do by the Navigators. But so I think this is good. What about our own relationships with each other? And I remember one Navigator saying to me, he said, I looked into the Navigators and saw that it was every man for himself. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess that's me too. I was talking with somebody who used to be in the Navigators and is now isn't, and he said, I was talking about certain things, and he said, the Navigators seem to attract a certain kind of people, independent and self-sufficient. And so that, yeah, I thought, yeah, that's probably us. And I've heard someone say, leading Navigators is like herding cats. And but the other side of it is you love people. And some Navigators you really love. And they're some of your closest friends. And when I was reflecting on this, I thought, I can stand here and say to you, my life has been saved by the Navigators. Because especially in the darkest times of our life, it was Navigators who gathered around and gave us the friendship and the support
that we so needed. And so I kind of feel maybe this is kind of like a little bit of a black and white thing with us, that some things are good and very, very good, and some things are not so good. I was thinking, you know, are we willing to make sacrifices to help or to learn from our colleagues? And I asked myself the question, you know, am I a team player? And I came to an unequivocal yes. But the only difficulty was that's as long as I'm leading the team. And I'll never forget that. I remember once this, I was going to a student team that was led by, this was Steve Cavell. And as I was going, Sandra said to me, "Off to war." And I hadn't realized what I had been communicating. That obviously these meetings were a bit more like warfare. And I remember inviting Pete to one of these tea meetings. And he said to me, "I don't know you like that." And I realized that in that meeting, I was in my corner, ready to fight for my people and my values. And I remember I got so mad one time, and in fact it was about Pete and Jill, that there was some intimation that I thought I heard Steve Cavell say that they were young, or that Jill was young. Well, Jill was a student, you know. But I didn't like this, and I walked out of the meeting. And, you know, this is the kind of dynamic that we had sometimes. But we hurt each other in this sometimes, don't we? I think I heard this statement from Alan Bartley. He said, "The church is the only army that wounds its own soldiers." And I thought, how many of us have been hurt by the navigators? And I know I have. I've come home from meetings weeping, and sort of other situations, been up all night because I've been wounded, I've been hurt. And then I've hurt others. I feel as if in my relationship with quite a lot of the staff at the moment, I'm spending most of my time apologizing. And there was another sort of situation that was a bit of a conflict situation, and it wasn't to do with me, but it did have something to do with leadership. So I said to my friend, I said, this is with him, and it's nothing to do with me, is it? He said, "No, well, he's mad at you as well." And so I thought, oh, great, thank you. That's really what I wanted to hear. So this is part of the relational dynamic. If you think, I know when I was thinking of the family values, I didn't so much think of The Simpsons, I was thinking of Family at War. because sometimes there is this conflict with each other. And I got to thinking about the body and how we relate, especially to do with this area of the leading and following in the navigators. And I feel that as leaders, we just don't have a good track record. There's just no other way to express it. If you think of in the early 90s, there was issues with the North and the South. I remember there was a meeting where someone suggested that the work be led by the quote-unquote, the faction leaders. Well, guess who was one of the faction leaders? I hadn't quite heard myself put in that frame before, but it was a bit of a shock. And then, so there was in the early 90s, I think Ramsey sitting there. I think this phrase is from you, Ramsey, that you said something like, "Leadership of the student's dream can be like a poison chalice." I don't know if you want that attributed to you or strike that.
I think that was a pastor.
Ted. I will not attribute that to anyone at this precise moment.
Please don't.
But there is a sense in which there is real difficulties. And I think we have a similar situation with the NST where that didn't work out the way that it was hoped. I think as I've reflected over the past few years, I thought, no, as leaders, we have not served the work as we ought. And then I thought, what about the other side of it? What about this the side of following? And I thought, I think there's probably a sense of which it's a little bit, as I say, in this every man for herself, and that events are evaluated against the cost of one's own ministry. And this is somewhat subjective and a bit personal, but I know I've asked myself, who shows an interest in me, and who takes an interest sort of how I'm feeling? And I know Sandra and I, we feel this sometimes. I know we had Tom and Judy up with us just recently, and we were saying that we had a great time. And Tom said, yeah, we prayed that on the way we would be an encouragement to you as well. And that did such a good. And in fact, I remember some years ago that some of the missionaries would come back to Britain and say, you know, their impression that the British navigators was a bit of a mess. And I remember thinking, and what they were doing wasn't. And I remember thinking, yeah, these British navigators, that's a bit of a mess. Actually, your ministry wouldn't exist if it didn't come from these navigators that were a bit of a mess. And that the key thing here is that we see God keeps working regardless of our weaknesses. Then the value 8. We value difficulties and suffering. They are evidence of a struggle of this age, causing us to depend more on God and to esteem the eternal hope of the gospel. And this isn't expressed internationally in the core values, but I think it does exist, whether expressed or not. I know in my own contact with international navigators, this is something that has struck me, that there's a sense of weakness, there's a sense of humility, there's a sense of vulnerability, there's a sense of my identity is not simply based in how well I do, but that I am have my own value as a person. And as I was thinking about this value, I thought perhaps this value, more than any other, determines how we end. How are we going to end our Christian lives? Because invariably we face difficulties. Invariably we face suffering. And pain needs to be addressed. And I can think of people who I feel are not ending as well as they might because they just will not make themselves vulnerable. I've seen others who, and I've experienced this myself, who won't stay close to someone because of the pain that the relationship is causing. And then sometimes it's pain will not be addressed from the past and let go and forgiven. And sometimes people, we will not engage in conflict because of the pain that it causes. And in a sense, we won't go where it hurts. And it's interesting, it's just in that place that God wants to touch us and God wants to meet us. And I think that we are, you might say, taking Henry Nouwen's phrase, wounded healers. I heard a statement of John Wimber. He says, don't trust any leader who doesn't have a limp. And I found that a very interesting phrase. And a while ago I was reading, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And I thought, is that a lifestyle or is it just a one-off experience? Is it just the result of a bad day? But I think what this is addressing, that this is the lifestyle. I remember the rector of our church said, he said, because we are a broken people, church is a mess. And I thought, yeah, that's right. We're only as good or as bad as our lives are in our relationship with God, and in a sense, then determined by how we get on. And then, though this isn't a value as such, I just sort of looked at the vision of the navigators, the mission of the navigators, the nav calling, if we take the British mission, to multiply disciples who invest their others. I have to say that I think that you do this absolutely brilliantly. And the way that the discipling is done. For me, there was a real turning point or a watershed or something at the student forum this autumn. When I saw the people that God was giving us, I think there has been a time when God withheld some people from us in the way that a father would not put his children up for adoption with a dysfunctional family. But there was a time like that. But I think that I saw, yeah, God has had mercy on us. God has had grace on us and given us many more people. And the other thing that I felt, I went through all these values and everything, and I thought, one value that isn't expressed, that I think is a deeply held value, and that is the value about overseas missions. Because I would say that that's probably one of the strongest parts of our work. And I thought, that's fascinating. Some cynical people would say that's because they can't wait to get out of Britain. But I don't think that's the case. I think because God has worked in their hearts, and I was thinking of the work that Ted and Linda do and that Ramsey does, to serve these people. And I thought, this is really a core value that the gospel gets out to the nations and that people are served. And so in conclusion, that I've been meditating in Revelation using this book, Reverse Thunder. And what Eugene Peterson wrote, who wrote this book, said that most of the churches received a positive affirmation, some corrective discipline, and some motivating promises. And so what I did, I sort of tried to kind of summarize what I felt or what we felt, and then just, so I'm going to give that to you, and then I think, is it back, are you going to explain discussion groups or straight into, here's the...